All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the Warped Tour 2015, and I have the pleasure of being joined by Buddy from Senses Fail.
Hello.
Yes.
How's it going?
Not bad, not bad at all. They just left the stage, and Buddy came right here to talk to me, specifically to talk to me. But, yeah, good times. How has Warped Tour been treating you?
Been a rough tour this year. Been kind of tiring and rough, and it's hard to... It's been difficult.
Well, yeah, we'll totally get into some of the more details down the line. But over the years, you've been very candid about struggling with addiction and continuing the theme of honesty. You've been very open about your sexuality lately. I've heard that you find Warped Tour difficult in terms of maintaining like sobriety and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you make it work?
I go to meetings, and we have meetings on tour. We have also people on tour that are sober, so... I meditate every day. I just try to, like, use the techniques I've learned to stay grounded and just make sure I do the things that I know that make me feel resilient. Try not to get sucked into the... It's easy to get sucked in sort of the overall, like, this tour sucks, is difficult type vibe.
Yeah.
So I try to be honest with that. Like, sometimes it does feel overwhelming, but then sometimes, you know, we just played a set and it was awesome, so... You know, it's a very different degree. Everything's gray. Everything's up and down. Nothing's stagnant. So
sure.
Everything's always fluctuating.
I imagine for the most part, when you're on the stage, you're happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. When we play, it's the best part. It's the reason why we're here. So.
Okay. Yeah. And another reason we're here, you have a new album out, Pull the Thorns from Your Heart, in stores now. Sonically, it seems to be a logical progression from Renaissance. And, I'm curious. The well-publicized turnover in the band, has that helped to... Established the evolution in the sound, or
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it kind of all just happens naturally, and I started writing most of the music, so it kind of reflects what I like in music.
I've heard. I saw you did an AMA the other day or a week ago, and I was surprised because you said in that, that Garrett did a lot of the writing beforehand, right?
He did all of it for the most part.
Gotcha, Garrett and Heath.
But that was years ago.
Yeah. Well, because when I came to know you, it was mostly around the Still Searching era, and I think Heath was pretty... His leads especially seemed pretty prominent. I mean, that's something I identified for a while with it. And obviously losing him and then Garrett doing his thing and then now you taking over, the sound has evolved, and I could totally understand that. So... Okay, absolutely. Since you have been around so long, has your friendships and acquaintanceships with other bands, your peers, helped, you know, fill in the gaps with the bands? Like, for a while you had my bass player from one of my favorite bands, Hot Water Music.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, I saw you.
Now our drummer's from Poison Well. I mean, you know, I think it's pretty cool. We've been able to bring people in that represent a lot of different cool aspects of the punk scene. From Heath from Midtown to Jason Black to Matt Smith from Strike Anywhere to, you know, dudes from the Street Dogs. We've been all over the place, you know. So we've been kind of like... It's an interesting mix of people that have made up the band.
Absolutely. It's bigger than any one person.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Has Matt said anything about any new Strike Anywhere? It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't know. They're all so busy with some of their other dealings. But they'll do some stuff eventually.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All will be right in the world then. That's good.
They're all doing some stuff. Yeah.
Now, the importance of the moment of death is one of your more recent music videos.
Yes.
It looks like that has a theme, unsupervised kids getting into violent situations and reckless adults. I mean, was that sort of bit like a play on the expectations of someone who's that age should know better than to, I don't know,
I guess it just sort of feels like that's kind of what we're growing up in, unsupervised sort of just chaos by people that are barely paying attention.
Gotcha.
So at some time, some people's families.
Sure.
Not that that was my direct experience, but it feels like as a culture, one of... It's also a reflection of, like, a loss of innocence, sort of like when you have to lose your innocence at some point. It's a reflection of that.
And that's an extreme example of it, but yes.
Yeah, but, you know.
You drove the point home.
Yeah.
For Renaissance, you guys worked with Sean Lopez in the production chair. Who did you work on this? Okay, gotcha. Keep it consistent.
Yeah, we'll probably do the next one, him too.
Okay.
Works out well, works really well.
Yeah, find your comfort zone and grow within that. That's fine. All right, the lyrics on this album are coming from a more positive, self-actualized place. I think we can safely assume, we can see, actually, that you've played a lot of older songs in the set, too, and you'll surely continue. Is it difficult to revisit some of those different times, shall we say, in your life?
Not really. it feels like when you're on stage, you're not really, I'm not really thinking about that. Yeah.
You guys have settled on Pure Noise Records. What attracted you to them?
We got a lot of good young bands, and I wanted to be part of something that was trying to find a good place for us. And what, you know, in the current music scene, I don't necessarily identify with a lot of the, like, Rise Records bands, or, you know, that's not really my scene. But with Pure Noise, they got a lot of, you know, Stories So Far and State Champs, and we align, you know, since we're old, there's like two music scenes. There's like the pop punk music scene, there's hardcore, and then there's like the metalcore thing. So it's like we fall closer to the more pop punk stuff, hardcore. So I was looking for a label that represented that. And, you know, man, people weren't, I don't think too many people are really looking for Senseless Fail at this point, you know, label wise. They're not really interested. Trying to sell, you know, trying to sell records, and we don't sell as many records as we used to, so.
No one does.
No, I mean, no one does, but, you know, I don't, nobody was really interested, and Pure Noise was a logical choice because he was interested, and I was like, he's also my age, and I know a lot, I worked in the music industry for like 5-6 years, and, or 5 years, and I don't need a lot of help,
yeah.
You know, I like to do things my way, and he allows me to do that.
Well, you always think that you get to a certain point and you don't even need a record label, although I guess for marketing and some distribution.
Yeah, you do. It's good to be a part of something, I think. I think it's good to be a part of something. I wouldn't want to put out a record on our own label.
Sure. All right, and recently you put out a split with Man Overboard. How did it take this long to have your first split?
I don't know. I mean, people don't really do splits anymore. I mean, hardcore bands do, but some pop punk bands do, but I don't know, it's just a lot of labels aren't interested in that stuff anymore, and now, you know, with Pure Noise, they're interested in doing stuff like that, so it's kind of cool, because it's an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, just the bad record days when they do splits all the time,
yeah.
That was, like, amazing.
Yeah, now, you know, that's why I like the label, too, because he allows us to do something like that if we want.
All right, now circling back around to what we hinted at earlier, there have been some bumps in the road with Warped Tour this year. Front Porch Step, Slaves getting kicked off, and some other Attila-type stuff. What do you think this is reflective of? I mean, there have always been sort of interband squabbles.
Yeah,
and
all the time.
But,
it's,
I mean,
the internet happened.
Well, yeah.
Put stuff on the internet. I mean, it's just, this has been, I mean, there's been interband stuff on Warped Tour forever.
Sure.
It's always happened. Just people choose to put stuff on the internet. You know, that's like, that Slaves thing never should have been on the internet, but somebody decided to post it on the internet.
Yeah.
It would have just been dealt with in-house and no one would have known about it, or maybe they make a statement, but, you know, Front Porch Steps thing, I mean, that's all another thing. That's different, and I think that was a mistake, you know. The Slaves thing, you know.
Sure.
It turned out pretty cool. I thought it was an interesting way to treat this as a community. People showed a lot of respect for him and his struggle, and, you know, people made the decision that they thought he would be better off getting help at home rather than being on tour, which I agree with.
Yeah.
I don't think the road is the place to get sober. You know, and then the Attila thing, I mean, it's self-explanatory, you know. We can't deal with stuff personally. He wants to put stuff on the internet. We end up having a conversation. You know, he feels completely different than I do, and I would be okay if I never see him for the rest of my life. I never want to play with him. I never want to be associated with him. I never want it to be. You know, and when you're put in this confines and you have someone that's that volatile, and his whole goal is to make people feel terrible and troll people and just, you know, act like a child. And it gets to people. And then he gets upset when it gets to people, which is really interesting. It's really like, you know, when you think about it from a psychological perspective, it's really interesting that somebody who wants to bother people so much gets so bothered by... He was very upset that I talk about him on stage. It's like, well, you say ridiculous things. Like, you bother people all the time. Can't you have some compassion for, like, you're upset. What about all these people that are upset at you? Like, you have to take some responsibility. He's not willing to. And maybe one day when he gets older, he will, or maybe not. I mean, I just never want to have someone like that in my life. I just think it doesn't do me anything. It doesn't help this community. I think it does it teaches young kids wrong things. It teaches them garbage.
Intolerance.
It's not even. Yeah, I, what he's doing is like he's like a juggalo, man. You know, it's just like that. It's like those guys know what they're doing. They had a plan the whole time. He's got a plan. He's going for it, and it works. Because
yeah.
Everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to listen to music their parents hate. They're always going to be that band. They will always exist. There'll always be a space for that band that's just shocking to bother your parents. You know, Alice Cooper. I mean, they go back. The Beatles were that for people. So it's part of rock music, and there's always going to be that band. And but there's also should be people saying something. You know, there also should be the opposite of like, yo, that's not cool. Like, and when you're in the band that's starting, you have to accept that there's going to be people that dislike it. And you have to allow for them to have a voice. And the stage is where to have a voice. You know, that's where I have my voice. And I think I have a responsibility to the people that like our band that when they come to a show like this, they have that I support them while they go and walk through the crowd and they hear, you know, people saying the word and talking about being a talking about this pit, you know, you gotta have a counter to that.
Absolutely.
It's just like politics, you know. People don't get, you know, Republicans have heated debates with Democrats, and it's like they're both allowed to have that space. With him, he gets super upset when people have a, you know, it's like, don't be a bitch. It's like, dude, I'm not being a bitch. I'm offended and I'm upset and I'm hurt as a human being. But, you know, he's a young guy, and maybe he'll grow into a real life human being. I mean,
maybe
it's up to him. It's all on him. So it's not up to me, and it never should be. And but I feel like when I'm out here, I need to speak for the people that I represent, and that's my goal. You know, and it obviously offends him. And good, he should be offended that people. He should be offended. He should be offended by the shit that he does. And you know, one day he'll wake up to it. He won't admit it, but one day he'll wake up to it.
All right. Now, you mentioned earlier about working in the music industry. I heard on a podcast, maybe it was Going Off Track, one of my favorites, and Jonah Bayer, one of our Decent Exposure alumni. I think you were saying about managing bands. Was that what you were referring to in terms of?
Yeah.
And so you're out of that now?
Yeah, I don't manage any band. Well, I work with Major League, but I'm out of the music industry.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Just not for you outside of being on stage?
No, it's filled with people that push stuff like Attila over, you know, that's, you know, they want to make money, and good for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and they want to push stuff like Attila, and they want to push someone like Johnny Craig to go on tour when he shouldn't go on tour, which is against everyone's better judgment to send someone that's an addict that hasn't dealt with their stuff out on tour. That's what the music industry is. The music industry is filled with people trying to make money off musicians and doing it in ways that sacrifices a lot of, like, what the point of the music scene is, and it's hard to compete when you have morals and values. It's you have to be very interested in, you have to be very focused on success, and you have to have a really strong ability to really not care about doing the right thing.
Lives down to the stereotype then.
It, to be successful, you can exist in it and do well, but if you truly want to rise to the top, be successful, you got to step on people to get there. And it didn't when I recognized that, I knew I couldn't do that, and it just felt like, well, what's the point of continuing on if I know what I need to do to be successful? At least that's the way I felt that you got to step on people to get to the top, and I'm not willing to, like, do those things.
So, obviously, WWE is a big thing. As anyone watching your live performance, you know, you've got all the moves. And so Bray Wyatt's your guy, huh?
Yeah, I love Bray Wyatt. Yeah, he's great.
So have you been in any live events holding up a light firefly?
No, I'm going to go. My fiance's been, but I haven't been recently. Well, we're going to try to go to WrestleMania next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you able to catch any of the pay-per-views?
Yeah, we watched on Sunday, and then we watched Raw last night, so we try to keep up. Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure you were happy with how the Wyatt-Roman Reigns match went.
Yeah, it'll be good. I think they'll build it up for a really big thing at SummerSlam. That'll be cool.
Absolutely. Well, of course, with Undertaker, too.
I don't know what Seth Rollins is going to do. Seth Rollins is a big Senseless Fail fan.
Oh.
Yeah. I was kind of upset. I wanted to see a three-way.
Like between...
I wanted Seth Rollins to go back out and beat up The Undertaker. And they're not going to have that happen.
No.
But... And then it's a three-way sort of Undertaker, Lesnar, Seth Rollins. That would be fantastic.
My prediction is they're going to have Undertaker get his revenge against Lesnar, and then maybe he'll retire.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. That'd be a cool way to do it. I wonder what Seth Rollins is going to do, though, for the next, like, who's he going to...
Hold on to the championship, milk it for a while, and then they'll, once they sort out the Lesnar thing, maybe they'll have Lesnar come by and take it from him after the Undertaker beats Lesnar. That's my guess.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or they have Seth Rollins somehow be part of the Lesnar thing. They're going to have Seth Rollins be a part of that. Maybe they don't. I just can't see them, like, who's he going to feud with for the next, like, month before SummerSlam? Unless he's a part of that. I guess he came out last night and talked about it. I didn't see it.
Gotcha.
You should take a page out of Billy Corgan's book and start writing for TNA. Not that they're doing well financially at all, but...
Ring of Honor would be probably a better idea.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to get involved in NXT. I love NXT.
Like, get involved, like, creatively, or...?
No, I mean, just I'm always tweeting out there. I want to go to a show, and I like NXT. It's cool.
I think Nick Diener, formerly of the Swellers, was auditioning for Tough Enough.
Really?
Yeah, for one of the promos. He was just flashed up on the screen, and I've heard a podcast of him saying he's been training in Detroit for it.
Wow.
So... He didn't make the final 10 or however many, but...
Bad this year. I don't like the show. They don't do much wrestling. Like, they don't show much... I wish it was more heavy on the, like, how to wrestle.
Yeah.
That's the most interesting part, I think.
I saw the last half hour of one of them, and it was... They were at the improv, and they had to do promos, and then it was, like, real world, or just yelling back and forth.
I don't like that. That's not fun.
Yeah.
One of the guys on the show is Heath Saraceno's second cousin.
Oh, guy.
The guy Saraceno.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think his name is Saraceno.
I only saw first name.
Yeah, it's his second, Heath's second cousin, but Heath has never met him.
Okay.
But it's funny, the tie to the show.
All right, so what else is in store for Senseless Fail the rest of 2015? A November tour, I think I heard?
Yeah, we're doing November U.S., and we go to Europe in September, and then... we'll do Australia next year, and then probably do some more touring here.
Any idea who's going to be out with you in November?
Yeah, we can't say.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Absolutely fine. So I end all interviews with this question. Stuck in a desert island, you're dressed for it. One album, rest of your life, what is it? I know it's putting you on the spot, but...
It would depend on what kind of mood I want to be in.
Well,
probably Bob Marley. I'd probably like best of Bob Marley.
Okay, that's fair.
But I could just... be with that would be okay. That would be helpful.
Okay, that
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.